It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe sitting up in the captain's chair at the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio in the middle of Vashon Town. And we are here together for our weekly time, and as I always do, as my custom, I send greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world from the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. I customarily announce that we are being heard in one side of the world, in Singapore, all the way to the other side of the world, to the Kingdom of Sweden. And I am announcing here that my Singapore family has now completed their move from Singapore back to the States, and they are taking up residence back in their home in Spokane. However, I'm going to continue to recognize the end of the world as being in Singapore, the Straits of Malacca, and I'm going to do that because I am confident that there are one or two people who remain in Singapore and who are listening to our broadcast every week. Also, all of Captain Joe's people in between, and all of the ships at sea, and all of the aircraft in the air, and all of the rescue stations that are about their father's business, rescuing those who have somehow come afoul of the weather. And of course, the sea remains the same with its risks, its hazards, and its beauty as it has since the beginning of time. The medical list this week still has a number of people on it who are afoul of the anchor known as the COVID virus. And fortunately, of all the people of whom I'm aware, all of them have been quadruply vaccinated. And so I'm not aware of any of those who have crossed their bar, but some have been pretty uncomfortable. And I suspect that some of these happened because we can now fly all over the country and probably all over the world, but certainly all over the country without masks and also be in airports. And I've just come back from a trip to Michigan on which I reported last week, and very few people in that aircraft were wearing masks. And so there's a possibility, I'm sure, that there is some spreading that can take place as a result of that. Unfortunately, of all the people of whom I'm aware, there have not been any crossings of the bar, as sailors call it. In calendar items, before I get into the subjects that I'm going to cover today in calendar items, first of all, on the 1st of July, you, even though you do not live on the magical isle of Vashon, will be able to buy raffle tickets to help support the Voice of Vashon. I take this opportunity to once again thank all of Captain Joe's people who have been so generous and continue to be so generous in your donations and contributions to the Voice of Vashon. It is because of those contributions and donations and those of all of the other people who help out financially that we are able to continue with from the captain's chair and all of the other programming that is part of Voice of Vashon. Of course, if we don't have Voice of Vashon, then I would have to be looking around for some other outlet for the captain's chair because I refuse to be silenced. And I have enough people who indicate that they listen every week and who would feel that there was something missing from their week. There would certainly be something missing from my week because even on those days toward the coming up on Tuesday when I say I'm just going to lie back on the hawser and take a stand down day, I can't do that because I have to make some notes of the things that I want to cover for our weekly visit. So for me, this is one of my anchor points of the week, and I have come to believe that it is for a number of other people as well. And in particular, do I know that because when we are not able to archive a particular program, I hear about it, and I hear about it from all over the world. So that's the 1st of July. On the 3rd of July is Mary R's big party. It is going to be at Point Robinson Light Station, a place that was for both of us very important and continues to be so for me today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a tour a tour that I gave at Point Robinson last week. It will be at Point Robinson. It is from noon until 5 o'clock, 1,700 hours, two bells of the first dog watch. And the program is there will be food and drink and music by music groups that were particularly, that Mary R. particularly enjoyed. And one of them is a Celtic group, and also they do sea shanties for the captain. And there will be, of course, stories. I'm going to tell some. I suspect that some of my children and grandchildren will. And I know that there are some out there that are waiting to be told as well. And these all have to do with Mary R's contribution, significant contribution to island life in the almost 20 years that we lived together here. So that's on Sunday. Any one of Captain Joe's people who are able to come to the magical Isle of Vashon on Sunday, the 3rd of July, will be most welcome, and I will be easy to find. On the 4th of July, of course, is the birthday of this great land that all of us who are Captain Joe's people continue to serve. And no matter how sometimes there are implications that our democracy is fragile and all sorts of things could or would or will or may happen, I am, of course, always the consummate optimist, sitting up in the captain's chair and looking out over the bow of the ship that I continue to command, that it may shake. And it's just like a ship in a Pacific winter typhoon, of which I have experienced several. And it takes skillful command leadership to survive through those things. And but it also takes a firm, and in the case of a political entity, it takes a firm and strong foundation. And our Constitution is that strong and firm foundation. Each one of us who has served in the military, each one of us who has served in law enforcement, and each one of us who has served in as a public servant in any capacity has taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, not to a particular person, not to a particular organization, but to the Constitution of the United States. Whoever created that oath knew exactly about what the business that they were about. So that is on the 4th of July, and at Captain's Quarters, I'm going to be hosting a very large gathering of family, children, grandchildren, friends of family rank, and my road family, and I'm expecting a number of tents to be set up on my property. And I am really looking forward to this because it will be a reprieve of a number of these events that we have had over the years and over which Mary R. presided as the matriarch of this family. And so it will be, all of these people will be at her celebration on the 3rd, and then we'll be moving over to Captain's Quarters. And so we will be thinking about all of you as we watch the fireworks from one side of Puget Sound to the other, and in particular, the fireworks right here on the island. So those are calendar events, and now we're going to move into a couple of things that have happened during the week. Last Sunday, I had the lighthouse opened for tours, and when the lighthouse is open and people come in, and sometimes they're just interested in old machinery, or they're interested in lighthouses. They want a stamp in their lighthouse passport. But sometimes they want to talk about other things. And that was the case with this one particular family that came in. And we got talking on the subject of the military. And this, of course, is a subject that I am always happy to talk about. And it turned out that the father of the family, the gal who was the wife of this particular family, her dad was a Marine, and he was, as you know, and I've said this a number of times, Semper Fi to all of you Marines out there, and once a Marine, always a Marine. I also believe, because I've lived it, that once you are a guardian, and I mean a guardian in the Coast Guard sense, not in that ersatz Space Force sense, that once a Marine, always a Marine, and he was and is 90 years old. And he is a survivor of the campaign that included the winter, the terrible winter in Korea at the Chosin Reservoir. I had a friend who was a resident over at Mount St. Vincent, retirement homes over on the mainland, who was also a Marine and a survivor of the Chosin Reservoir. And to use a pun here, his stories were absolutely chilling, not just because the winter was incredibly bad and because the troops were not as well equipped for that winter as they should have been, but because of the combat that went with it. And so the discussion that we had with this family included a young man who was about 12 years old. And I said to him, I said, do you talk to your grandfather about the Chosin Reservoir and about the Korean War? And he said that his grandfather did not talk very much about it. So I said, I want you to, when you go back and talk to your grandfather, he lives in Arizona, and he's in good health and hopefully is going to be with us for a long time, that I said, you send him a Semper Fi from a Vietnam veteran. My Vietnam War was certainly not chilling in the sense either of the real or the literal or the military sense, but and ask him to open up a little bit, because it is really important that these stories be passed on insofar as the people who live those stories are able to tell them, to be passed on to the next generation and the next generation after that. These are the stories which are all part of the fabric of our national life and our national history. And we are getting away, I think, from some of these things, and in particular, the idea of service over self, which is one of the hallmarks of military life. And the other part of it is that of sacrifice. People who give up their lives that their buddies might live, that their shipmates may live. We are taught these things in a theoretical sense when we go to boot camp or when we go to the first year at the academies or whatever the starting point is for a person's military career. We're taught these things in a theoretical way, but it is when you are actually faced with them that they become really real to you. And the idea that a shipmate, one who puts his mates and his ship before himself, is a concept that seems to be drifting away from us, except from those of us who have lived it and continue to live it today. So I suggested to him and to his parents that they would see whether or not her dad, his grandfather, might not open up just a little bit and tell some of the stories of his military service, because it's important that these young people hear these things and they get some feel for the idea of service over self. It was a great conversation that we had, and as we were having this talk with this particular family, other people came in, and I was struck by the number of people who were interested, who entered into the talk, entered into the discussion, and of whom none except myself had served. That is a commentary in itself. So it was, it however helped to make my day, in the sense that here's one family and one young man, 12-year-old young man, who took my advice and told me that he would indeed talk to his grandfather about it. A couple things from good old G Captain. I always like to acknowledge my Captain Joe's people on the Coast Guard Channel, and in particular Joe, who put me onto onto G Captain. And a couple things from G Captain for us today. And one of them is this. A liquefied natural gas carrier that belongs to the Russian consortium that generates liquid natural gas in Siberia has just completed a transit across the Northeast Passage and what the Russians call the Northern Sea Route. And it was done by a ice-strengthened ship. I've taken a look at the photograph of her. She is a very strong and sturdy ship. Not quite a full icebreaker, but she is a very strong and very powerful ship, and has the hull form such that if she does get nipped, she does get beset, then she will at least not going to be crushed and sink. And she made this transit without icebreaker support. That, of course, this is in the summertime, and there are parts of the Northeast Passage, the Northern Sea Route, which have for a long time been open for summer traffic, especially with icebreaker support. But she made this on her own. And the interesting thing about this is that I read the article just a little bit farther down. And it turns out that for economic reasons, she is not under Russian registry. No siree. She is, in fact, registered in the, just looking here for my notes, she's registered in the Bahamas. Now, you can bet that this particular ship will never, ever, ever go to her proclaimed and legal home port in the Bahamas. She is going to be used only in the ice, and never will she probably go any farther south than about 50 north. But what I do find interesting about it is that, first of all, this is not the first ship that has been able to make that transit. It is, however, the first ship of which I'm aware that is of Bahamas registry. And this ties in with conversations that we have had on this program about ships' registration and why they're registered in places other than where they actually sail. Talked a little bit on this program about Admiral Fagan, the new commandant of the Coast Guard, who is, I'm going to say this once here, and that will be the end of it, because so far as I'm concerned, Admiral Fagan, although she is a lady admiral, she is the commandant, and that is her title. She is going to be, to me, Commandant Fagan, no longer. Oh, and by the way, she's also a woman. So she is, of course, the first lady to command any one of the five military services, and that's the last time I'm going to say that. But what she has proclaimed is that one of her most important objectives during her four-year tenure as the commandant of the Coast Guard is to transform the policy management system. Now, what the hell does that mean? So I am looking forward to hearing what Commandant Fagan has to say and what she does to implement that particular statement. What I also found interesting about this is that she is a graduate of the Coast Guard Academy, as of course am I. But she's a graduate of one of the first classes to include women. And she paid tribute to Admiral Owen Seiler, who was the commandant who did indeed, I believe the term that Admiral Fagan used was integrate the Coast Guard Academy, in other words, having women be as part of the Corps of Cadets. And what I found interesting was that when she took the oath and relieved as the commandant of the Coast Guard, she was wearing Admiral Seiler's shoulder boards, which I think is an extremely nice and significant touch of continuity of command in our own service. I had a lovely telephone call this morning from my granddaughter, Simonzi. And I bring this up here because I talk frequently about our children, about our grandchildren, and about our great-grandchildren, those who have them. And I talk frequently about them because it's so important to me that some of the values which are important to all of us who are Captain Joe's people are transmitted to the ones who are going to come along behind us. I do not subscribe to the theory which is seems to me to be so popular in certain quarters, especially amongst those who are environmental professionals, environmentalists, is that all of us have really screwed up the world and now it's to the next generation to carry on. I don't subscribe to that at all. I take, for example, looking at the condition of Puget Sound, or I look at the condition of Chesapeake Bay, and I think that we have been a part of a continuum to continue to improve all of these things. So I'm not buying that I've really screwed things up, and it is to my children and my grandchildren to square it away. But I had a wonderful call from Simonzi today, and we have a lovely relationship, which includes she knows that when she's involved in any kind of an activity, which includes raising money, that her Cappy is one of those people that she can, with assuredness, come to me and I will be a participant. However, I have a rule which is never broken, and that is that when it comes time to make these pitches for support, financial support for some do-good, that the grandchild himself or herself must make the approach and must deliver the selling of it, not the parents. Any parents who come to me and say, will you buy for my kids Girl Scout cookies, is sent to outer darkness, because I will only negotiate with the children themselves. So Simone Z is about ready to do some lap swimming to raise some money for the swimming pool where they all swim during the summertime. So we negotiated this out, and I agreed that I would support a certain amount per lap, and if she exceeds a certain number, that I would bump up the amount of support, thus providing, one hopes, the incentive for her to exceed whatever her original goal was. And I am confident that she is going to take that on board, and she is going to exceed whatever her original goal was so as to get the little bit of extra sweetening that her Cappy has promised her. And, of course, she will be with me over the weekend for both her grandmother's celebration and then also for the 4th of July, and that's when I will make good on my promise. I had a my Coast Guard channel source also told me a story about the Norwegian cruise ship Norwegian Sun colliding with a growler. A growler is a piece of ice that's about the size of maybe a large truck. And Norwegian Sun, when she was going into Hubbard Arm over the weekend, collided with one of these things and damaged herself to the point that she had to abort that particular cruise to be inspected and repaired. Which reminded me that Mary R. and I took a cruise in Norwegian, and when we went into Sawyer Arm, to the glacier in Sawyer Arm. And as we went in, the captain, who was a Swede, got closer and closer to the face of the glacier, and I kept sending him these subliminal signals that he was getting too close and he was going to pick up some ice in one of the screws. But he did not roger for those signals, and he got in pretty close before he turned her around and headed her back out. A few days later was the last day of the cruise, and Mary R. and I were sitting in the auditorium, which was all the way aft over the propellers, and we happened to be sitting very close to the starboard propeller, and I felt this thump, thump, thump. And I leaned over to Mary R. and I said, he has picked up some ice in that starboard propeller, and he has bent at least one blade, probably all of them, but certainly at least one. And she said, why don't you send him a letter and tell him that? And I said, well, I'm way ahead of you. I've drafted that letter, and I'm ready to send it to him. So I did. I told him who I was. I told him what my experience and my qualifications were. And I thought that maybe we would have a captain-to-captain conversation about this. So I wrote the letter, but my big mistake was that I dropped it into the suggestion box at the purser's office, not realizing that the suggestion box had no bottom to it, and it went right in, apparently went right into the recycle machine, because I never got any reply back from the letter. But in the letter, I told him that I said, Captain, when you get your ship up on the in the dry dock in Los Angeles, she was going in for her annual inspection. When you get her in, and I know you're going to go down underneath her and do a personal inspection, and you're going to find that you've bent at least one and probably all of the blades on the starboard side. Little did I think that I would never get an answer back. Little did I realize until I thought it through that probably the suggestion box went straight to recycle. In any case, I never heard back from them, and I remain convinced that Norwegian Sun that collided with that growler, the same thing probably also did some damage to propellers, because if she hit a growler, then she also took some bergy bits. It's a wonderful term for a piece of ice, a bergy bit. Bergy bit is smaller than a growler, by the way. And so that she'd also taken some bergy bits through her propellers. So, The time all too quickly has marched away from us, along with the Coast Guard marching song. And so it remains then for me, as it always is, that first of all, that each of you who are responsible for other people, watch their six, take good care of them, take good care of yourself. If you are not doing too well physically, follow the instructions of your medical provider. It is my wish, my hope, and my command that you do that, so that once again, we will all meet here just a week from today. And I got to check my calendar on that. We'll meet someplace, whether it's here or whether it is away from the magical isle of Vashon, we will meet someplace. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, Simonzi. You've got my hand on those numbers of laps that you're going to swim. And Simonzi and I always end our conversations with, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station. And as always, watching properly.